What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to another episode of Utah Liberty Talk. This is TD, Tyson David Reese. Hope y'all are doing good. Working on getting a lot of content out for you guys. If you guys haven't checked out Political Dysfunction, go ahead and do that. We do a bi-weekly show every other Thursday there. And recently, Hunter and I discussed hypocrisy in the Democratic Party as a part of a two-part series we're doing, and next week we'll be discussing hypocrisy in the Republican Party. That being said, I'm working on getting a lot more content out on Utah Liberty Talk. You guys, in addition to this one, which is a little bit of a bonus episode, you guys can well. It's probably going to be kind of its own independent episode, not labeled. I guess I'll have to decide. I kind of want to do it on its own thing since it's necessarily political or really related, even though it has aspects of it that are politically related. And one of the major things that I will be talking about, the major thing I'll be talking about in it, is basically the concept of the human race and our evolution over time, and more specifically the fact that our DNA is not naturally occurring, and where that plays into religion, and I'll also be touching on the use of psychedelics with religion and what it actually what it actually does for us, not what we necessarily understand that it does for us. With that being said, we got our Patreon. Go check out the website, UtahLibertyTalk.com. You already know the deal. You can get a link to our online store there. We're going to be doing some restructuring on the website. So the store, as you know it, the products that we have right now are only going to be there for a limited amount of time. We're going to be products. We're going to be switching providers and all that kind of stuff. We're going to be getting on a whole new restructured wave, and that's the idea. It's going to go good from there. We're just going to continue to build on that. We're going to have a better foundation for it, maybe some better quality websites, stuff like that. You know, that we run it through. You know the deal. You already know how it goes. That being said, specifically, recently, there's been a lot of talk about gun control, and excuse my voice, I've had a bit of a long day. Talking about gun control today, standing for the right to bear arms, this is something that's incredibly important right now, as we see, we're being faced with more gun control, increased gun control. Particularly with the Biden administration, but you know, as a nation as a whole, and even as a global society, we're seeing a major increase in gun control. Gun control. Wow, I apologize for that voice crack, ladies and gentlemen. Like I said, I've had a rough day. It's been a little bit long for me. Anyways, I mean, the right to bear arms is incredibly important, and you know, I mean, you hear all sorts of, I mean, the Second Amendment protects all the others, and you know, you already know the deal. Not that I'm a fan of the Constitution, and you hear me talk about it on the show. I know that many libertarians say that they're not fans of the Founding Fathers, and they like to use the gaps in the Constitution. Well, I wouldn't say specifically use the gaps in the Constitution, but it's one of the main motivations for people to say they don't like the Founding Fathers. And I do want to differentiate. There's a huge difference between people like Alexander Hamilton and Thomas Jefferson. So just because was a central government supporting monarch doesn't mean that Thomas Jefferson didn't have some fantastic ideas and principles that are ideal for what this nation is supposed to be. That being said, we're talking about the right to bear arms, and this is something that's been very important to me. This is something that I've never wavered on. We have our political opinions change, whether that be on abortion or immigration. Having been a former conservative Republican, I guess I was never actually a Republican. I considered myself a Republican, but a former conservative. The Second Amendment was always important to me, and to me, this is one of the easiest amendments to make politically. This is something every gun infringement and the only common sense control there is trigger discipline. With that being said, we're gonna be talking about that, and we're gonna move into it. And I think it's important to note that our government is an entity of hypocrisy, and that doesn't just apply to the Second Amendment. We see that, and as a man of principle and as a man of the party of principle, and as listeners of principle, which the entire existence, everything that it does is hypocritical. Is counterintuitive to what it's supposed to be doing. I mean, that's just what it's built off of. That's just what it. Well, that's what it's become. They of course they want to regulate the citizens' ability. We'll talk about self-defense and what the right to bear arms means in regard to self-defense and in regards to fighting tyranny. But of course, the government's totally okay with them having nukes. Not I don't think it's really necessarily okay that any entity in the world has that kind of destructive power, such as a nuclear bomb. And I think that we've allowed any entity to acquire such things, and that doesn't necessarily mean that you shouldn't be able to buy them. But I think that the fact that we have turned such a amazing scientific discovery, such as fusion, into a weapon, just pretty much s states exactly what governments do. It takes that accelerates the human race, it expands upon our increasingly growing knowledge, and they turn it into a weapon, just like they weaponize social, they weaponize the press, just like they weaponize the legislation they put through. They're gonna go ahead and weaponize those scientific discoveries as well. Episode. But anyways, yeah, so of course they want to have all the powerful weapons, and not even, I mean, you're telling me that the tactical nukes and nuclear missiles which can literally just completely destroy, but God forbid two for each federal agent that's knocking down their door, just throwing an assault weapon. And the other funny thing as well that I find quite comical is the fact that these people that are pushing gun control and the government, which of course is always narrowing in on that authoritarian agenda of ultimately stripping us of our liberties. These guys they're protected with guns. They're protected by people who are trained with firearms. So of course, they find it necessary to protect themselves with those kind of weapons, and that's because they're useful for protection. There's obviously a bigger agenda going on here, It's not about, it's not, you know, they're, I mean, these guys are trying to make it so we can't protect ourselves. That's what the bottom line is. They're making it so that we're unable to protect ourselves and our fellow citizens. And you know, they, this is I'll, first of all, you know, the right to bear arms, there's many different reasons for why we have it. And I think that first and foremost, the main reason why we saw such a big push for it in the Bill of Rights is because our founding fathers just fought a bloody revolutionary war fighting for their liberty and independence from the crown. And they understood that it's extremely important to keep an armed population, because without an armed population, the concept of popular sovereignty means nothing. And you know, the concept of popular sovereignty, if you are unaware of what that is it's basically a government that is ruled for the people by the people, while with the consent of the people. And that was touched on by Thomas Jefferson in the Declaration of Independence, when he said the governments are instituted among men to protect the rights of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, and that when government becomes destructive to those ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it. That in and itself is basically a summary of popular sovereignty. So without an armed population, how can you have popular sovereignty? You know, we saw in Nazi Germany with the disarming of the Jews. We saw in Soviet Russia with the disarming of the populace of the Russian state in the USSR. See it in China, see it in Venezuela, you know, and even in Mexico. Not to say that our government's necessarily the main evil there, but you know, I mean, their government's always in bed with the cartel, and you know, those people are screwing up their lives all over the place. If you don't know this, in Mexico, there's a lot of specific calibers that are banned, and people aren't allowed to carry weapons outside of their home. If I were in Mexico, if I lived in Mexico, I think probably the only safe place would be my home. I'd probably want to carry a gun everywhere else. Not to say that I wouldn't want to carry a gun in my own home, of course, but I'd also be very concerned about carrying a firearm with me everywhere else that I go. In addition to that, you know, I mean, we've seen it in historical context, whether it's the bloody civil war the Japanese had over disarming the Jews, or the multiple uprisings and municipal governments of empires, whether that be here in the United States during the 1870s, the cowboy era, or whether that be in the Roman Empire or the Greek Empire. We saw lots of wars in the Mediterranean over stuff like that in you know, the ancient history, particularly 500 to probably 1500 years after the birth of Christ. So I mean, historically, there's a lot of context that shows us that bad things happen when a government tries to disarm the population. And that basically goes to show that the concept of popular sovereignty is basically what's needed to keep a government clean and keep the people free. And you know, without the right to bear arms and to fight against government oppression when they do their jobs badly, I mean, the right to bear arms is what allows people that right to alter or abolish the government. And this is Thomas Jefferson basically alluding that the right to violent revolution is indeed a thing. And this has been proven over the cycles of time. Violent revolution will always be a right for the people. There, you know, there's sometimes is no other way to respond to the kind of tyranny and oppression that we see done by governments. You know, it's not, you know, there comes a point where you have to draw a line in the sand and say, you know what, if I am killing, you know, if this movement is killing 1,000 federal agents to protect 10,000 American citizens, are they really the bad guys for going after those federal agents? I'm pretty sure that answer is no. That being said, you know, the right to bear arms is to fight tyranny. You know, and that was one of the main reasons for it, if not the most main reason for it. And there's a lot of historical context that goes to back that up. There's also other reasons for the right to bear arms as well. You know, first of all, you have a right to property, and that's a very basic right. You know, it's touched on by James Madison when in the Fifth Amendment. Thomas Jefferson was skeptical about using the word property in terms of describing rights, because it could easily be manipulated into slavery. And you know, that's where we see some of Thomas Jefferson's cognitive dissonance, where he openly speaks out against slavery, but he owns slaves. And you know, just because he didn't follow the principles or really heed by the principles or live by the principles doesn't mean that the principles aren't there and respectable. So he exchanged and the concept of their rights to life, liberty, and property, which are originally very popularly put forth by Thomas Paine. He changed it in the Declaration of Independence to pursuit of happiness, which is very, very similar. They mean a lot of things. They are both pretty big umbrellas, and pursuit of happiness would most definitely cover property, as well as other things as well. So I would say that, pursuit of happiness absolutely protects sport shooting for fun. It's a very precise thing to be doing. It is a very it's a sport that takes a lot of skill to do. I find it very similar to golf. Both sports of which shooting and golf I'm a big fan of. I enjoy doing both of them. And I think they're comparable in terms of the sport of them. Not to mention that there's great arguments for self-defense, and this isn't just from tyranny, but this is from other civilians. The reason why we need a government at this point in time and as a society is because we as a society are not ready to respect each other enough to the point to where we don't need a government to help give us guidelines and to help protect the people and lay out the specific rights that people have and kind of guide a societal structure. So far as we have a government, it's safe to say that we can't trust our fellow citizens quite all that much. And in its own right, I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, you can't tr I mean, love, love is a given. I always believe to love everyone, but trust is very, very special to a lot of people. And it takes a lot to actually trust someone, and you never really know who you trust or who you don't trust, and because anyone has their own individual agency, and you never know what someone's thinking. So you have a right to defend yourself against people that may be on the offensive against you, and that's just the bottom line. Whether that be a mass shooter, whether that be someone that's trying to break into your home, including the state, it's just the way it is. And we've seen the government, the way that they restrict firearms. It's federally, so in order to properly, legally vend firearms as a business, you must be registered with the federal government. And these federally licensed firearm dealers are not allowed to sell handguns or handgun ammunition to those under the age of 21. And what kind of consequences does this entail? Well, it incredibly infringes on the individual's right to self-defense. And self-defense is not necessarily the state's job. The state could try to protect everyone, but it's impossible. I just saw my good friend John Molnar that he had tweeted that earlier today. That you can't protect everyone, and of course the government can't protect everyone. I mean, they're not even good at what they do. So protecting everyone is a pretty dang hard job to do, and I'm pretty sure if anyone could do it, it's not these guys. So it's up to the individual at the bottom line, because anything could happen, and there's a lot of times no help but yourself, and that's what this world is about in a lot of ways. Sometimes there's just no help but yourself. So you absolutely have that right to self-defense, and many people will say that the Second Amendment was written, especially people that are share the philosophy of liberty. They say the Second Amendment, was written to fight tyranny, but it was also written for self-defense. I think it's kind of a given. I think it's a little bit less controversial than the right to violent revolution. Maybe even needs to be specified a little less. So probably wasn't touched on quite as much in the historical context of the Second Amendment. But that doesn't mean that those arguments aren't just as valid. And even if not, we've seen these arguments arise in society that are definitely worth preserving and definitely worth putting forth into protecting the right to bear arms. That being said, you got the right to bear arms to fight tyranny, and you have the right to bear arms in order to protect yourselves, because obviously the government can't do it all the time. Not to mention that, we probably should all try and do it, not try and rely on the government, even if it is their job. But there's also, the sport shooting that I mentioned earlier, and the right that to pursue happiness. There's also the principle of your right to personal property and private property. And whether that be a projectile, as so far as you're not using it to violate the rights of others, You have a right to that property, absolutely. So you got the right to bear arms to fight tyranny. You got the right to bear arms for self-defense. You have the right to bear arms because you can pursue your own happiness. You have the right to bear arms because you have a right to property. And you also have the right to bear arms because, bottom line, when society crumbles, as every societal structure does, which tends to be form around government, there tends to be those same kind of cycles where society will make sure will witness sorry, give me one sec. Or society will witness major paradigm shifts. And this typically tends to happen historically with in congruence with the fall of the current government institution. When stuff hits the fan in societies, we know it starts to collapse, and you can't trust the people around you, you can't trust the government to protect you or maintain order or so on and so forth. You got, at the end of the day, sometimes we got to return to our primitive state and go live off the land. And if firearms are absolutely necessary to ensure one's survival, and making sure people can live off the land. And it's also, a part of, so far as, I'm all about personal responsibility. So, of course, don't just go, killing a bunch of deer just because you can. But of course, be responsible about that kind of stuff because, there's a reason why we have this stuff here. There's a reason why deer aren't poisonous. Of course, it's kind of comical, but I do believe that God, put animals on this earth so that, well, I wouldn't say that it is it scientifically, this isn't necessarily, congruence. And you gotta hear me justify my religious and scientific views together on the conspiracy episode. But I do think that we are intended to eat animals. I know that a lot of people also make an argument against that, particularly vegans or vegetarians. But we got these sharp canine teeth. We are omnivores, not herbivores. I can I'm looking at it right now. A nice little sharp boys. I got like three on each side. Definitely meant for tearing up meat. No homo. Anyways, you have the right to bear arms for multiple reasons, and I mean that's there. I mean that's just the proof's in the pudding. I mean it's all there. But I mean the fact of the matter is that the government obviously feels like it can take on this kind of fight against the people, which seems absolutely maniacal to me. There's not a dang chance in the world that the United States government can compete with the inhabitants that it rules over. The United States, the federal government is the largest employer in the United States. And if I'm not mistaken, last I remember, I could be wrong. This could be a totally wrong number, but I do remember seeing this number at some point in time. It could even have been in my AP US history class when I was a junior in high school. But last I remember, I believe the federal government has 2 million Americans hired, which is the largest employer in the United States. With that being said, there's over 350 million people in the United States. So even if you had every single person working for the federal government fighting against a tenth of the population, they're still going to get smoked. And there's just, I mean, the federal government doesn't have a chance in the world to maintain stability, across all of the lands that it rules over. And that's one of the big reasons why. I mean, if it was just a central government, we didn't have state governments. So there's absolutely no way the United States Empire would still be standing to this day. And that's just a fact. There's no possible way that one single centralized government can rule over this kind of land, particularly with, that's this diverse, that has so many different cultures in it. It's so supportive of freedom. You think that the same laws that apply to people in California would be okay with people in here in Utah or people in Montana, compared to people in Maryland, compared to people in Missouri, compared to people in Maine, compared to people in Texas. I mean, there's just no way that one centralized government would be able to handle all that. And there's a reason why we have the system we do, in the sense of, we do have a confederacy in a way, but not entirely. It's one of those weird mixed governments. I mean, you guys know how it goes. I mean, there's absolutely no way that the federal government, I mean, we can't even, how long have we been in the Middle East? I mean, we're still fighting people out in the, I mean, I know that we could turn the Middle East to glass if we wanted to, but of course, you think the federal government's going to turn the entire nation to glass just because the citizens are fighting back against gun control. I'm telling you right now, it's not going to happen. There's no way that they would completely destroy their own infrastructure. How would they even be able to get anything anywhere? I mean, it would just be a complete disaster for everyone. I'd like to think that the federal government is not stupid, but I mean, who freaking knows? I mean, it'd probably only take a couple. They might try it out a couple times and realize like, oh, wait a minute, this has some pretty negative consequences that we were maybe not aware of. So if they were stupid enough to do it, they'd probably end up calling off that strategy pretty quickly. We saw in the Vietnam War, guerrilla warfare effectively takes care of these kind of military operations. Not to mention that you got a whole slew of vets that are pissed at the government because the VA obviously can't take care of them. This is just the kind of crap that happens. I mean, you got the government drafting people, sending them over to die in Nam, and the people that survive are having a lot of complications from it, specifically because of Agent Orange, which is a chemical that the military used to wipe out the heavy forest that they had in Nam. There's tons of people getting kidney and liver cancer and leukemia in the children of these Vietnam War vets and so on and so forth because of this. The VA and the government's pretty much hung them out to dry. Whether that was intentional or not, that might be unknown. Maybe it'll be exposed someday. I guess we'll see. We'll probably have a lot of secrets revealed to us here in the next 10 years. But the bottom line is that the people that were trained by the government how to fight are being let down and neglected by those same people that taught them that. And you got a whole generation of people that are coming up right now, and they're entering a world where labor is inflated and the dollar is inflated, and we're what, $28 trillion in debt. I mean, we'll be at $30 trillion before the end of Biden's term. And you're seeing increased political tensions. You're seeing increased political polarization. And to be honest with you, I think that if the federal government decides to make federal laws that'll wage a war against the federal government, then the United States of America will cease to exist, because there's no way that this nation is going to remain voluntarily united after the federal government goes away. And I promise you that if they decide to majorly infringe on the Second Amendment further, particularly with Joe Biden in office, that's going to happen. Today, I guess Joe Biden, there's been a lot of talk about Joe Biden using executive orders, and I'm gonna say I think it's because these guys are wussies. I think that we called their bluff pretty good. Joe Biden had a whole slew of gun control that he wanted to do. One of them I'll talk about in a second here. He's kind of working on, but he wanted to include many other things in his gun control policy that included the banning assault weapons, which included magazine capacities or tax stamps for any magazine that are over 10 rounds, more regulations and tax stamps for pistol stabilizers for basically a short-barreled rifle AR-15 platform. And I'll talk about why it doesn't really matter that I call it a short-barreled rifle, because that's basically what it is. And I'll talk about that in a second. And then, I mean, I'll re regulate online sales. Mandatory background checks for all purchases, stuff like that. I mean, Joe Biden had a huge slew of gun control that he wanted to go ahead and put forward. As I talked about, you got a whole generation of young people that are pretty much entering the real world, and that's particularly Generation Z. These guys are, I mean, we're just getting into college, just graduating high school or in high school or graduating college. Of course, it's a long generation in terms, these generations go in terms of, how old these people are that are alive, and there's a big age range there. I kind of got off topic there a little bit, but with, the federally licensed firearm dealers not being able to sell handgun ammunition or handguns to those under 21, handguns are prime self-defense weapons for people to carry with them, conceal carry. I mean, no one knows you have it. I conceal carry with me every single day. No one knows I have it. And that's important because it allows you to protect yourself and protect others around you. Worst case scenario, if you're in a store and someone starts shooting, you have the ability to neutralize the threat. If you're just out and about, I mean, there's always a possibility. Every single individual out there is their own individual agency, and they can decide to do whatever they want to do, whether, they decide to, start setting off bombs or start, going on a knife rampage, or I mean, whatever. Everyone's got their own individual agency to do something crazy and hurt you or loved ones or your, fellow citizens, and you have a right to put an end to that. And with these laws that restrict, these handguns, which are prime self-defense weapons for, when you're out and about, particularly for younger people who, aren't quite as maybe physically strong all the time. Of course, this isn't always the case. You get a lot of people who are in their prime when they're young, but not everyone's that way. And you need, I mean, and this is why, I'm such a big advocate for females carrying firearms. It's the great equalizer. I mean, it really is. Bottom line is, a female doesn't have to worry. A female that's 5'5" and 120 pounds doesn't have to worry about getting in a fist fight with a male who's 5'11" and 200 pounds, because she has the ability to protect herself. It's a great equalizer. But with these federal regulations that make it so that, even though you're 18 and you're out in the real world and you have to do real world stuff and face real world dangers, you aren't allotted by you aren't allotted the protection that you're entitled to and that you have a right to, because of increased government regulations. They particularly crack down on younger people, and this is something that they want to do as well. I mean, Joe Biden's talking about raising the firearm age overall just to 21, and this is something that is making our younger generations extremely vulnerable. And let me tell you what, President Biden, I know you're not listening to this because, well, hardly anyone gives a crap about this anyways, but I know you definitely don't. That you are only making younger people more mad, and I'll tell you what, I mean, you've been in Congress for 47 years, and the inflation's only gotten worse, the labor inflation's only gotten worse, the government tyranny's only gotten worse, and you got a bunch of young people, particularly young men, that are pissed with it and are fed up, and we're tired of it, we really are. They have laws that specifically impact young adults and target young adults and their ability to protect themselves, and I mean, it's a horrible deal. Anyways, so Joe Biden was supposed to, of course, government, nothing's transparent. Apparently Joe Biden was supposed to be signing executive orders today, which is why I plan on recording this today so I could talk about it. Apparently Joe Biden just rolled out plans for executive orders that plan to happen. I was on the official government website, and I didn't see any updates for any of the executive orders. I've just seen articles about it, whatever. So apparently these are just concepts for executive orders that haven't actually been made into executive orders yet. The press secretary made it very clear that Joe Biden would use executive orders in order to enact gun control, similar to how Donald Trump did with the bump stock ban. First of all, executive orders are being treated as legislation. It's a dictator's move, and if you use an executive order as a president, you're a fucking cocksucker. Pardon my French. I'm not gonna mark this explicit because it's gonna be the only time I'll swear, I promise. Which is gonna be hard for me on a Second Amendment episode, an episode about the right to bear arms. So there's that. So there goes the cussing for this time. Let's see, where was I? Oh yeah, so of course the government's not transparent. Donald Trump used executive orders, banned bump stocks. You suck if you use executive orders, particularly for something that's expressly mentioned in the Constitution that shall not be infringed. I mean, this is literally, Joe Biden's justifying it by calling it a public health crisis. And if you ask me, I don't think a public health crisis is justification for violating the rights of the people, nor is it justification for one person to make a call for something that applies to your entire nation. One person shouldn't have all that power. Well, one of these executive orders, apparently there's six he's planning on doing. I was only able to collect information on what seemed to be five, would seem to be five executive orders. Obviously, Joe, one of Joe Biden's policies that he wanted to work on with gun control was reining in ghost guns. And apparently, one of these executive orders is supposed to have a rule that is supposed to encourage reining in ghost guns in the next 30 days or something like that. And ghost guns are basically, if you're unaware of what ghost guns are, it's basically just when people build their own guns, and there's not a serial number on it. And I know that there's a lot of these, oh, common sense gun control, it's important to have serial numbers so you can trace a firearm back to the crime. But the bottom line is, the government's not transparent, and we know this. And this kind of information that the government is basically essentially forcing the citizens to give to them, is all part of this bigger authoritarian agenda that we've been seeing play out over the years. And of course, they're trying to do it slowly so that they don't give it all away at once, which is partially why I think Biden didn't come out and say we're going to do an executive order against assault weapons and stuff like that. Because if you just try and go for it all like that, I mean, it's just going to be a disaster. And honestly, I think that Joe Biden, probably the feds, know that if they tried to do something like that, it'd be disastrous. They've got a they're I mean clearly America's not going to respond well to it. And I think they know that the sheep in this world and the general population of America need to be conditioned more to voluntarily give up their firearms before legislation or executive action like that is ready to be passed. First and foremost, it's not the government's responsibility to maintain account over what kind of firearms I own. It's none of their business. I have a right to property, and they have no right to know what I own. And I don't really care how the Constitution's been interpreted, because the Constitution does not trump my the a man's interpretation of the Constitution does not trump my God-given inalienable rights. With that being said, the Constitution's a weak document regardless, and it's not like it does much to help our rights. I mean, even within, without the Bill of Rights, the Constitution's absolutely nothing. And honestly, if James Madison hadn't gotten the Bill of Rights in, then we probably would have seen a new form of government form again. So honestly, even though, we look at the Bill of Rights now as a good thing, we could possibly have a better government system if the Bill of Rights wasn't created. It could have led to maybe a quicker revolution. Maybe not. Maybe, instead of having like a Shays Rebellion 2.0 for the Constitution, if there wasn't a Bill of Rights, we would just have a more oppressive government. And that would be a bad deal. But reining in ghost guns, so the government and our rights to know what property I own. Second of all, it's if I decide to build a firearm or 3D print a firearm, I mean this is my decision. And I could use that for target shooting. I could use that for general knowledge on small machines or simple machines put together. Very similar operating parts and principles apply from firearms to vehicles to machinery. I mean, there's a lot of the same concepts that are incorporated into the machinery that goes into these items that we use. And it's a general knowledge, and like I said, if society collapses, it's good to have that kind of information. And the bottom line is, it's none of the government's business regardless. And another executive order that Joe Biden wanted to do was regulate pistol stabilizers within 60 days. And this is specifically a touchy topic at this point in time. At the end of 2020, the ATF tried to make a new classification. Which would basically say that pistol stabilizers make a pistol a short barrel rifle. For those of you that are unfamiliar with the ATF classifications of firearms, short-barreled rifles are you have to have a permit to get those. You have to go through it was the NFA or FFA. I'm not really too picky about which government action did exactly what to me. I just Yeah, the FFA or the NFA is one of the two. No, I could be wrong. Might just be ATF policy. I don't know. Maybe I'm just spewing crap out of my butt. Anyways, you do have to, in order to own a short-barreled rifle, you do have to acquire a permit, pay a tax stamp, all that kind of stuff. I do know this because I've looked into it. And which is funny that I don't know exactly what made it so that short-barreled rifles you have to do this on, considering that I am very into the law side of the political sphere. The ATF tried to reclassify pistol stabilizers and basically classify these AR-15 pistol platforms as short-barreled rifles. And basically, these pistol platforms, the pistol stabilizer is basically just supposed to be an arm brace that you can shoot it with your arm out like it were a handgun. You're not supposed to shoulder it. Obviously, no one listens to that because that's just stupid. And there's no reason that someone shouldn't be able to own a short-barreled rifle anyway. And the reasoning behind that is because short-barreled rifles are optimal for home defense. And so when the ATF's kicking down your door and they're trying to shoot your dog and your wife, shotgun, you only can have so many shells. Thanks, government regulations, by the way. You can only have so many shells. Many shotguns come with plugs in them so that you can only put three shells, other than around in the chamber, of course, because of migratory bird hunting laws. So shotguns aren't necessarily optimal for close quarters combat in those situations because you only get a few shots off before you're out. Short-barreled rifles, they're precise, they're fast shooting, they're good for close quarters areas. They're small, they can be compact, and it's optimal for home defense when you're protecting your property in those close areas, particularly situations where your loved ones are nearby. And with these short-barreled rifles being made incredibly hard to get, these pistols are kind of a way for the citizens in the market to work around it. And this is just another effort of the governments to prevent the citizens from being able to adequately protect themselves. So the ATF was trying to push forward. Somehow, a federal agency can dictate law, their policy can dictate law for all Americans, potentially turning hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of Americans into criminals, which is absolute bullcrap that any agency should be able to do that. Not to mention that these agencies are unconstitutional regardless. And even if they weren't unconstitutional, they go against the principles of liberty this nation was built upon. The Constitution can be interpreted in ways that are helpful to liberty, particularly when you look at the language in the Fifth Amendment. And I think that a Declaration of Independence is often overlooked when comparing it historically to the Constitution. But of course, John Hancock and Alexander Hamilton, and the such had no desires to incorporate much of the principles that were put forth by Thomas Jefferson in the Declaration of Independence into the Constitution because they had a whole different vision for what our government. With that being said, I know that there was the shooting in Colorado that happened not too long ago, and I'm not going to go into too many details about that. We've seen what happened with the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting and the conspiracy theories that go behind that. And people will say, well, it couldn't have been staged. There were real victims. These are the parents of the victims. So that doesn't mean that the person that shot your kid didn't get sent there to shoot your kid by a higher up power or entity. They could have easily been hired by the FBI, CIA, Fed, whatever. And of course, after the ATF tries this and there's huge public backlash from it, obviously they backed off of it and decided that they weren't going to go ahead and do that. And what happens? Oh, Joe Biden gets elected and sworn into office. And then in Colorado, there's a shooting, with one of these pistol stabilizers. I'm not sure if there was a. I know in Colorado, you're not supposed to have magazines over 10 rounds. So if there was a magazine used that was over 10 rounds, then obviously you can see why that gun control didn't work at all. Not to mention that it's not like the pistol stabilizer was the one that killed all those people. It was the thing that killed all those people. I mean, if it were me, honestly, if you got a pistol build, you might as well just take off that stupid stabilizer and just put on a regular freaking stock. I put on bump stock for all I care. I mean, the possibility that that shooting was staged is probably very likely, considering that the government's just playing a giant game with us. How easy would it be for the government to hire someone, oh, hey, We'll keep you in quote solitary confinement. We'll take you in alive. You know the deal. I mean, there's just, I mean, to act like that that's not a possibility and that the government wouldn't do something like that is just treacherous and ignorant. Along with those pistol stabilizers, one of Joe Biden's executive orders also makes it easier for states to adopt red flag laws. I don't really see why the federal government should be making it easier for states to enforce tyranny. The red flag laws are basically what happens, and Donald Trump supported red flag laws, by the way. But red flag laws are basically when someone, anyone can give a law enforcement agency an anonymous tip that has no legal repercussions, and they could say, look, I think this person is a threat to themselves or other people. They don't have to have any evidence or reasoning behind it. I think this person's a threat to themselves or other people, and they should have their firearms taken away. And basically, that gives the judge a free pass to sign off on a warrant for the law enforcement agencies to go in there and having, and even without having any due process of court, they roll in there and they do no-knock raids to take the firearms. That's how Duncan Lemp was actually killed. If you're unfamiliar with the story of Duncan Lemp, he got a felony speeding ticket when he was a minor, and obviously the government didn't make it clear to him that he was unable to own firearms as an adult, which is stupid because it was from a speeding ticket that he wasn't allowed to. So when they found out that he had it, they deemed him a threat to himself or others, and they went ahead and no-knock raided him. Of course, according to the lawyers, not what happened. They shot him through the bedroom window. But if you want to look into the Duncan Lemp story, go Google it. Look at, I mean, there's tons of great information out there that'll tell you about what happened and particularly the legal proceedings that followed. But these red flag laws basically enable the government to infringe on the right to property without due process and liberty and even life in some instances, like Duncan Lemp's instance. The government will infringe on life, liberty, and property without due process, and that's expressly protected in the Fifth Amendment. So that's the deal with the red flag laws. Provide more firearm tracking data regarding the trafficking of firearms. Apparently, this hasn't been updated in like 2 decades. Honestly, I think it's a giant waste of money to just keep trying to stop agorism. But of course, you know how the state works. Agorism exists in spite of the state, and the state's gonna fight agorism. It's like Superman and Kryptonite. You know how they work. I mean, they're always just gonna fight each other. Agorism is basically like the black market. Agorism is basically a sub economy that specializes in selling things the state deems illegal. That's the concept of agorism, is a market disobedience, selling things in spite of the government because the government has made them illegal. So of course the government's going to try and spend more money to try and fight agorism. And there's also a $5 billion investment into urban anti-gun violence programs. And to me, this just seems like more over-policing. I mean, we've seen Joe Biden pull these kind of stunts throughout his political career. And to me, it just seems like they're going to continue to over-police urban areas, which doesn't surprise me at all. This is actually very typical, not only of our government, but particularly of the people that Biden has in his administration. And of course, we've got some wonderful news about Joe Biden's nomination for head of the ATF, David Chipman. For those of you guys who don't know, David Chipman's a total loser, commie, cuck sellout. This guy was ahead of the Waco operation. For those of you guys who don't know what happened in Waco, Texas in 1994, basically the ATF had a standoff with the religious sect called the Branch Davidians. They lived in their compound, and the ATF felt the need to execute a search warrant to determine if the Branch Davidians were violating the law because they didn't obtain a $25 permit. So what ends up happening? Well, of course, our government doesn't have the ability to discern the difference between human life and their arbitrary laws. So they decided that it was acceptable to kill over 79 people, including over 20 children, in order to enforce a $20 permit. Some people will make the argument that, oh, well, David Koresh was marrying minors, and not to say that I'm okay with that, but lawfully, first of all, it's not the ATF's jurisdiction. Second of all, it was with parental consent, and third of all, it's legal in Texas with parental consent. Some people said that David Koresh, who was the leader of the Branch Davidians, was a madman and all that kind of stuff. The bottom line is that the ATF had no business there, no business putting those kind of lives at risk by executing a search warrant on a compound like that. Not to mention that they were purposely doing it discreetly as well, when these kind of things should be gone announced. Apparently, they had been flagged by some grenade casings that have been sent there. It's not illegal to order grenade casings, or at least it wasn't. David Chipman, it was like a 59-day standoff. I mean, or 54, one of the two. They were there for a very long time. They would all night long blare music and horrible sounds of car crashes and women and children screaming and crying. It was complete psychological warfare for these Christians that just wanted to be left alone and left to live off the land in their own compound where they weren't bothering nobody. And they decided that this kind of thing was necessary in order to uphold the law, which stated that they should have a $25 permit to do what they suspected them of doing. Yeah, I know, it sounds ridiculous, right? Well, you can thank David Shipman for killing over 20 children for it. And you want to know what's even worse about that situation? The ATF and the FBI put a lot of pressure to get him out, so they decided to tactically insert tear gas into the compound. They ended up trapping women and children into an underground bunker where tear gas isn't supposed to be lethal, but the tear gas was so potent, and they were trapped down in there because the tanks had blocked the exits out, and had moved rubble over the areas, that they were literally trapped in there with tear gas for so long that they died. And tear gas is supposed to be non-lethal. So, I mean, not to me, I mean, that's a horrible, horrible, horrible way to go out. But the fact that our government finds it necessary to do that to innocent women and children because of a $25 permit is absolutely disgusting. So thank you much for that, David Chipman. Complete disaster. Complete disaster. The only thing I can say about you, David Chipman, is I wish more of your agents had died in that attempted siege. So, I already hate the ATF. I've already been protesting the ATF. I've already been speaking out against the ATF. This is only going to make my fiery passion and hatred for them grow more. And yeah, I think I touched pretty good on most of those topics. I'm not really sure how to outro on this. Outro, don't touch my guns. Don't touch my fellow American guns, or else you're gonna have another thing in for you. Joe Biden, you say that you want to do this because you want to curb gun violence. Well, you enforcing and passing these kind of executive orders is only gonna cause gun crime and violence to soar. The difference is that it's gonna be happening to your federal agents. So I hope that you're ready to put those young men's neck on the lines to enforce some unconstitutional laws that they don't want to abide by regardless, unless you're someone like David Chipman and you're just a loser. All right, and that's going to wrap up this episode of Utah Liberty Talk. This is talking, about standing for the right to bear arms. If you guys haven't, go subscribe on Patreon, go order some stuff from the shop. There's some stuff in the shop that you'll probably never see again after this. So go ahead and do it. There's going to be a Patreon up for political dysfunction, and we're going to get that going. Also, update us the Utah Liberty Talk website a little bit. You can get the political dysfunction right from there, or it's right on it. Next week, you guys will hear on political dysfunction, me and Hunter doing the show. And before that, you guys are going to hear a special edition conspiracy episode of Utah Liberty Talk, and it's not necessarily going to be super integrated with politics, but it's going to be a conspiracy episode that definitely does relate to politics and government relations in a lot of ways. So make sure you guys are tuned for that. I'm aiming to get that one published on Sunday, so we'll see how that works out. This episode I'm going to publish as soon as I'm done recording it, so it will be posted late tonight, Thursday, April 8th. We're gonna see here. I'm just about to finish it up. It's almost 11:10 p.m. So many of you guys might will probably be hearing this on Friday morning. And for those of you who don't know, the Utah Libertarian Party convention is this Saturday, and I will be there. That I'm a delegate. I'll be having lunch there. And afterwards, there's also going to be a protest against gun control at the Utah State Capitol. So if you're interested in either one of those things, let me know. I'd love to see you at the events. I'd love to get to know you both at that and at that protest, at the convention and at the protest. That being said, thank you all for listening so much to another episode of Utah Liberty Talk. Thank you for the support. If you like it, give us a review, give us a like, subscribe, whatever. You know the deal. It helps us get up there in the ratings more. We're the first thing that pops up on Google and all that good stuff. The name's really getting built up, and this is all because of you guys, the listeners. You guys like the show. We really do appreciate it. And that's the dealio. So thank you guys so much. And y'all have a good one.